I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 18, in our readings through the Gospel of John we've been doing in Sunday evening. We've come to chapter 18. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 18, and beginning our reading at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto him, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. The saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be here with you all again. So thank you very much for having me. It's been real great to be able to be with you over the weekend, to be able to do the meetings with you all, and then as we meet here this evening as well. I hope that my preaching is as good as that singing was. It's a little bit of pressure on now, but thank you very much. And I hope that you were challenged by the words, very stark, very blunt words that are a challenge to each and every one of us within that song there. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12, if you have a Bible with you. And so thank you very much to the session here and for inviting us along to do this mission weekend, and especially to the Youth Fellowship as well, who have been here each night and have been organising it all. It's been good to be able to spend time with you all and to see the mission going ahead this year. So thank you very much for letting me come and spend time with you. And I know Alan and Catelyn, who both give the testimonies over the last couple of nights, give their thanks as well. They really enjoyed being here. We're going to read from Luke chapter 12. And beginning at verse 1 of Luke chapter 12, there it says, In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which he had spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed unto the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought for how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he saith unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bag which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we'll finish there just at the end of verse 34. Let's pray before we have a look into God's word. Dear Lord and our loving Heavenly Father, we do just thank you again for this opportunity of being able to meet here this evening, Lord. We do thank you for the weekend that has gone behind us, Lord. And we do just thank you for how you have blessed us, how you have helped us, and how you have guided us, Lord, how you have shown us in your word your great salvation that you give to us, Lord. We do just thank you, Lord, for each person who has came through this weekend, Lord. We do thank you for each person that has gathered here this evening, Lord. We do thank you that we still have the opportunity here to be able to open our doors, to be able to preach your word faithfully, Lord. We do just pray that as we gather here this evening, Lord, we do just pray that you will be prepared in hearts and minds, Lord, that we will look at ourselves, Lord, and not at other people, Lord, that we will be challenged, that we will be encouraged by what you have to say to us through your word. We do just pray, Lord, that what you have to say will come from you, Lord, and if I say anything of myself, Lord, that you will wipe that from our minds, Lord. But we do just pray that you will speak to us, Lord, that you will speak through us, Lord. And we do just pray that you'll be praised, you'll be honoured, and you'll be glorified through this meeting, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen. Now, the title of my message this evening is The World Versus Jesus. It is a massive, massive confrontation that goes on within our society nowadays, that people have this battle that they think that they need the world just as much as they need Jesus, and that is not the case at all. Did you know, as a very, very random fact, just to start off this meeting, did you know that an estimated 10,000 doctors in America actually have fake foreign medical degrees? I found this out this week, it was fascinating. It was in a newspaper, and I was reading a little bit about it, and there's a man called Claude Pepper, who's one of the Democrat leaders for Florida, and he said that many American citizens are receiving medical treatment from doctors who lied on their medical school loan application forms and used the money not to go to school but to pay a broker for fake documents claiming that they completed school and training, which I found fascinating. There was a man arrested just a couple of weeks ago, and he's been sentenced to 15 years in jail. He said that he's been doing it for 3 years and has made over $1.5 million making these foreign forged certificates for doctors. And you think to yourself, why are you telling me that? Such a random fact. But in this passage that we read here, we read right at the very beginning, we see that a huge number of people are gathered together to hear Jesus speak. Jesus pointed out the Pharisees to his disciples, and they were in the crowd, and he said to his disciples there, as we read at the start, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. The warning in these verses that Jesus gives to his disciples are twofold. Jesus is warning his disciples about people who are false, people who are fake, people who try to look a certain way, act a certain way in order to be perceived as Christians. Jesus was warning his disciples of these people, wolves in sheep's clothing, as we know them as. He refers to them as the leaven of the Pharisees. But what does that actually mean? Because when I first read it, I thought, what does that even mean, the leaven of the Pharisees? And he referred to them as that because leaven is a type of yeast. For those of you that bake and cook amongst us, you'll know this, that it's a type of yeast. You'll know that yeast is added to dough to make it ferment and to rise. It helps to puff things up, like bread. And that's why you'll have also heard of unleavened bread, which is flatbread, that hasn't been puffed up. Jesus is warning his disciples at the start of this passage in chapter 12 to be careful of people who do things just to puff themselves up and to not be like people like that. People who only do things, wear things, say things to make themselves come across well, but then live differently in their day-to-day lives. People who are fake. And this is a warning to any of us here, especially those who are Christians amongst us, that within your school, your college, your workplace, if you are a Christian, you're being watched by other people. We are being watched by people if we are a Christian in our workplace, in our school, because people want to see how we act, how we react to different situations. And this is a warning to us just as much as it was to the disciples of that time, to make sure that what we do is real. Make sure that we are not fake people that are just doing things to puff ourselves up and make ourselves look good. I remember, and I think I've told you this before, because I've been here quite a few times before, and also give me testimony, that when I was younger, I went to a school in Liverpool, in North Liverpool. It's one of the biggest schools in the north of England. It was around about 3,000 people went to my school. And as far as I know, from when I was in school, I was one of, if not the only Christian that went to that school. We had no SU group. We had no meeting place for Christians within our school. RE isn't on the curriculum, so we didn't study it. And as far as I was aware, going through the pressures of secondary school, I was one of, if not the only Christian within that school at the time. And I gave in to a lot of peer pressure during that time. I'd done some bad things during that time. Broke into houses, stole things. I was swearing, doing all sorts of different things that you would never associate with a Christian. But yet, I called myself a Christian. And on a Sunday, I went to church and I had my Bible with me and I was a good person and I'd done everything that was expected of me on that day. I was living a double life. And my witness to my friends, it just went out the window. I was trying to be all things to all men in order to puff myself up so that everybody would like me. Don't be like that. Especially if you're a young Christian here this evening. Don't be like that. There is a lot of pressure within school, within college, and then as you go on into work, to be able to cover up who you really are, to be able to be all things to all men. There's a lot of pressure that you might get mocked, that people might say stuff about you and treat you differently if they know that you're a Christian. There's a lot of pressure within our society, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse and worse all the time. But we're not to be like the Pharisees that Jesus spoke about here in Luke chapter 12. If you're a Christian, we're to stand up for what the Bible says. What people think about Jesus and what Jesus teaches within the Bible is of far more importance than what people think of you. It shows that in John 15, verses 18 to 20, Jesus tells us, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. We need to realize that if we truly believe this Bible that we read here today, then we have to stand up for it, as it holds the key to eternal life. People will hate you for it. People will mock you for it, but you're not called to puff yourself up like the Pharisees here and be loved by everyone. You're called to go into the world and preach the gospel. And that is what we are called to do. And it's such a challenge to us as we look through the life of Jesus and we look and study the life of the Pharisees and the way that they treated Jesus, that we need to remember that we're to not be like that. We're to be people that stand up for what the Bible says and stand up for the truth, irregardless of how we're going to be treated. The second part of this warning is that he calls the Pharisees hypocrites. The Pharisees were the type of people who, by all appearances, they looked like religious people. They wore the right clothes, they said the right things, they adhered to all the religious rules. They looked like the most strict and upright religious people. But yet they didn't believe in Jesus. In fact, they were the people who actually drummed up the support to have Jesus killed. They were hypocrites, acting like good people, thinking that that was good enough to be able to get them to heaven. Is that you this evening? as we sit here in this church. Maybe you're the type of person who's came along to church for a while, or you come to youth quite regularly. You put your good clothes on, you've got a Bible, you know a lot about it, but yet you don't believe it in your own heart. Matthew 7:21 says to us that not everybody that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Going to church, wearing fancy clothes, carrying a Bible, even knowing some verses, isn't enough to get you into heaven. Only he that doeth the will of my Father, which is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, asking for forgiveness, realising that Jesus died on the cross to be able to give us salvation, asking for forgiveness, entering into a relationship with him, and then striving to be able to do all we can while we can to be able to serve Jesus throughout our life. That is the only way to be able to get to heaven. If we live a life of morality outside of Christ, we aren't earning heaven. We're just trying to fix a glass that's already shattered into a million pieces. That brings us on to point two. We've got to beware of falling. We've got to beware of this. Further on in that passage there, you read as we go into verse 13, we come across a parable that Jesus tells. A man asks Jesus if he will tell his brother to split an inheritance with him. Now Jesus said something I find it quite interesting in verse 14. He says to him, and he saith unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Jesus, the judge of all the world. Why wouldn't he just tell the man's brother to split the inheritance? And it was because Jesus' purpose in coming down to earth was clear. It was to tell people of the kingdom of God. Matthew 20 verse 28 tells us that the Son of Man come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for the many. That was the purpose in Jesus coming. Not to sort out squabbles, not to sort out family disputes, but to preach the kingdom of God and to give his life as a ransom for the many. He knew this man had no interest in what Jesus was saying, but he wanted to use Jesus for his own selfish material gain. So Jesus tells them a parable instead. Now to us, looking at the parable and the people around at that time, I'm always fascinated by this parable, because if you look at it closely and were to all think about this man in a context of today's society and this man being in our own church, here you have a man who's got a business plan in his head. He worked hard every day to achieve that business plan. He had food laid up for many years. He'd increased his barn sizes over a number of years. He could retire early. Surely a man like that has got his head screwed on properly. He knew what he was doing. He was a good, hard-working man. But yet at the end of that parable, God calls him a fool. Why? Why did he call him a fool? If he was in our church today, we would think, well, that man knows what he's doing with himself. He's got a good business plan. He knows what he's doing. But yet God turned around and called that man a fool. Why? Because his focus in life was all wrong. There's a quote that says, life is tragic for the person who has plenty to live on, but nothing to live for. And I'm sure that quite a lot of you are on some form, and I know I'm going to be speaking specifically to the youth here, but I know that everybody here, just because of the way the world is now, I know that a lot of you are on some form of social media. Social media has a lot to offer us, but it also brings a very dark side with it. It makes us feel that we're the gods of our own universe. You share what you want without repercussion. You delete someone if they bore you. You like what you want, and you have a constant need for getting likes from other people. Social media makes us less social and more focused on ourselves. Every social gathering is just an excuse for a good photograph to show how amazing our lives are to other people. And I don't know if you've had the amazing opportunity of being able to go out for a meal and watching everybody sit around the table looking at the mobile phones for the entire meal. The amount of times I've been out for a meal and I see a group of people all sitting together, and they're all just texting away, Jordan. And then the food comes out and everyone goes... And then you see it up on Instagram later. I had a wonderful night with all my mates. It's like no one spoke. What's going on? Social media has made us far less social, and it's given us this idea that we are the gods of our own universe, that we do what we want without repercussion. And if we don't like somebody, we just delete them. We just get rid of them. We do what we want when we want because we rule. We rule this social media page of our own, and nobody can do anything or say anything that's going to cause any type of offence to us. Our focus has shifted in society onto the wrong thing, just like Jesus warns us about through this man in this parable. We seem to think it's so important to be liked and to have the best of everything, because the media tells us this every single day. And you know, it says that on average we see about 240 adverts every single day, whether that be on buses and billboards and on TV and radio and all of these different things. The media constantly bombards us to tell us that we have to look a certain way, you have to have a certain hair colour. If you're fat, if you wear glasses, if you don't have perfect white teeth and a tan, then you're not good enough.
You're not accepted by the society that you live in. So we all strive for these things, because if we have these things, then we'll be happy. Are we right? Of course we're not. Why does Northern Ireland then, if this is what we need to strive to achieve in order to be happy, why does Northern Ireland have the highest rate of suicide in the whole of the UK per head of population? Why does Northern Ireland have one of the highest rates of teenage suicide amongst men in the whole of Europe? Because we have things and we have likes, but we've lost our focus. We still have something missing that material things cannot fill. If you're not saved here this evening, then you're just like this man that we're speaking about here in this parable. Your focus is on the wrong thing. The man in the parable was a fool because he'd spent all of his time focusing on the things that he could have on earth and didn't think about his eternal future. You're here this evening and maybe you've always come to church with your parents. Maybe you've never been before and you've been invited by a friend. Maybe you've heard about the food that's been going on for the last couple of days, which has been epic. And I think I've bust out of this shirt nearly speaking tonight because of the food over the last couple of days. Maybe that's the reason you're here. I don't know why each of you are here this evening. Whatever your reason for being here, though, you are here, which is great. You have the opportunity that this man in the parable didn't take, a chance to think about the big questions of your life. What happens when you die? Do I believe in heaven and hell? Probably the most important question of all that we've emphasised over the last couple of nights. Do I believe that Jesus is who he says that he is within the pages of this Bible? The Bible tells us that there is a heaven and a hell. The Bible tells us that we'll go to one of those places when we die, and Jesus proved that through his life, his death on the cross, and his rising again, that he was who he says he was. You've maybe got questions about Christianity, and that's fine. Many people have questions about Christianity. I think a lot of Christians still have questions about the ins and outs of Christianity. But the important thing is that you take the opportunity this evening to speak to somebody. Don't leave it until it's too late. And you hear these words like this man heard in this parable. Thou fool. Your soul is required of you. And where are all those things going to be that you've got? Now the last point that I want to bring to you this evening as we begin to close is beware of failing. The final point that I want to make is in those verses that we read there in 22 to 34. Now Jesus goes on after he's spoken to the crowd, and he begins to speak to the disciples, and he tells them not to be anxious about anything. That he looks after the birds of the field, he looks after all of nature, and they want for nothing. So how much more will he look after people? He gives them a very thought-provoking statement as well that I want to leave you with just there in the end of verse 34 there. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One of the most diagnosed illnesses of 2016 was anxiety. We live in an age where we worry about things constantly within our society. House prices, uni prices, cars, family, clothes, work, social status. All of these different things all the time. We're constantly anxious about things. It was George Muller who said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, but the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. If you're here this evening, you truly believe what the Bible says, then we know that God knows all things. And he's promised us that he'll look after us, so we shouldn't be anxious for anything. We trust in God. That's where our real treasure is, so that's where our heart should be also. Not on the things of this earth, not on saving money to get our next car and things like that, but on building up our treasures in heaven. So the question that I leave you with this evening is, where do you stand? Where is your heart set on? Is it set on the things of earth? Or is it set on the things of heaven? Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Where are you standing here this evening? On the broad way, or on the narrow way? If do you think you're on the narrow way, do you act like it? Are you a witness to the people around you? Are your beliefs based on Scripture alone? Is your trust in Christ alone? If you're on the broad road, then I can only plead with you to take tonight, take the opportunity, come and speak to myself, or to Gordon, or to somebody that you know here this evening who is a Christian, who may have invited you along, and ask them questions that are holding you back this evening. Because I don't know why you've got questions, maybe you've got thoughts, maybe you're thinking, I can't come to Jesus just yet. As I shared yesterday about my mum when she was being challenged by things of Christianity. She was big into partying, big into drinking, and she thought to herself, "Oh, that's just what I want to do. Like, I don't want to become a Christian yet, because then I'll have to give all these things up." And maybe you're the same here this evening. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, "Well, I don't want to give up the life that I currently have. I'm doing all this. I'm going out on a weekend, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I've got this group of friends. I don't want to give all that up just to follow Jesus." This is the most important question that you'll ever have to answer in your life. The minister at the time said to my mum, and I know I shared with you yesterday, so I apologise if you're saying this again for the second time. But the minister at that time, he turned to my mum and he said, "Letizia, just get saved the day before you die." He said, "Go, live your life, do what you want, do all those nice things, and then the day before you die, get saved, and it'll be great. And you'll have many more years to live and do whatever you want, or months, or days. Who knows?" And it dawned on my mum at that point that she didn't know when she was going to die. The opportunity that she had there may have been the last opportunity that she will ever have been given. And it's the same here for you this evening. We don't know what's going to happen within our lives. We don't know whether this is the last opportunity that you will ever have to be able to hear the gospel. So it is so vital that you think about it this evening, that you ask the questions that you need in order to be able to make the best decision, to make the most informed decision, and trust in Christ as your own and personal saviour. It was John Bacon, who was an 18th century English sculptor. He said on his deathbed, he said, "What I was as an artist seemed to be of some importance while I lived. But what I really am as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing of importance to me now. What you have, what you own, what your social status is, how many followers you got on Instagram, all of these things, when it gets to the end, it doesn't matter. But the only thing that will truly matter is, what have you done with this person, Jesus Christ?" We can speak to you, we can pray with you, but just don't forget about it and don't walk out. Leave it for another day. Don't do that, because you don't know whether that other day will ever come. I want to leave you just with these verses from Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. It says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The difference between Christianity and any other religion, apart from the fact that Christianity is right, is the fact that all of the religions will tell you that you have to believe in something and then try your best. Work as hard as you can and you hopefully will get to heaven. Jesus promises us in his word that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Don't leave it. You don't know whether this is the last opportunity that you may ever get. Thank you very much for letting me take part in your youth weekend this weekend, and I hope that God blesses you and challenges you through what he has to say through his word.
Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. And let's just think about what we have just heard from God's precious word. We can have many things in this life and look for many things and hope for many things, and that's okay. But as our brother said, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? What do you think of the Saviour? What does he mean to you? Do you know him as your Saviour? Do you know him as your Lord? You can come to know him tonight. The Bible says that him that cometh unto me, the Saviour said, he will in no wise cast out. And thank God tonight that you can have your sins forgiven, and you can know that you're on your way to heaven. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you call upon the Lord. Just ask him to save you, take your sins away. And you know he will do that and make you fit and right for heaven. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for this evening. We thank thee for being able to meet around thy word. We rejoice in the way of salvation that is through the cross. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst cause men, women, not to be fools, not to fill their lives with the things and with business and so on, but Lord, to think about the most important thing and to make right with God and to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Bless thy word, write it upon our hearts, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen.